Hello everyone, and welcome to the Associate and Affiliate Cricket Podcast. I'm Russell Degnan. Today we are looking back at the final edition of the World Cricket League Division 7 and having a chat about cricket in Germany. With me for that is my regular co-host, Cricket Europe's Andrew Nixon. Welcome, Andrew.
Hi, Russ. Hi, everybody.
And Dusch Weller, sports journalist and batsman for the German national cricket team, Andre Leslie. Welcome, Andre.
Yeah, good to be here.
Andre, let's start with Germany and World Cricket League Division 7. It's fair to say the tournament started fairly badly against probably two of the strongest sides in the tournament, Vanuatu and Fiji. Was there anything that stood out for you that showed that they were the reason that Germany struggled so badly so early in the tournament?
Look, it's fair to say that Germany did struggle really badly, especially at the start of the tournament. All of us are aware of that. The players, the management, coaches and the people back home here in Germany were very disappointed in the way we started. It's fair to say that there are some excuses that one can bring if one likes to make excuses. Sure, we came out of a Northern Hemisphere winter. No other team had to do that. We didn't have the wherewithal to put on a long tour before we went out to Botswana. Most of the other teams had been touring South Africa or other parts of the Southern Hemisphere, summers. But those are all just preparation issues. The players that we have on board in the team were a really nice mixture of very experienced players and up-and-coming players that we knew could perform. Why they didn't do that in the first two games? Well, I think it's probably due to the fact that that we didn't hit the ground running like we needed to in that tournament. In the past, we've often won our first game, and it's really important in these short tournaments to win your first game, or to at least put in a good performance. I think that on the batting side of things, that not enough people put their hand up. Not enough people said that they were going to take on the responsibility of scoring the runs, myself included. And I think ultimately, if people don't, you know, really show the commitment that they should at the batting crease and knuckle down to score in the runs, then you have really bad totals like those. I mean, against Vanuatu, we bowled them out for 199, right? That's not a bad effort, really, considering that team was well drilled. So it really came down to our batting and just not doing what we needed to do as a batting unit. And I suppose losing wickets when we shouldn't have, and losing wickets in the wrong way.
A couple of times during the tournament, you sort of took a lot of wickets for quite cheaply. I think in the first match against Vanuatu, I think at one point they were about 100 without loss, and then they lost five wickets for just 25. And is it that the bowlers aren't just capitalising on those sort of wicket sprees, as it were?
Yeah, look, we did have good phases in the field, but we also had phases where we let it drift away, and that was a commonplace issue throughout the tournament. I think that most of us need to have a little bit of, if I can be this critical of the lads, have a little look at our own fitness levels, our own concentration levels. I think that is a little bit of a match practice issue. I think once you've come out of a winter where all you've managed to be able to do is do indoor training sessions where you've played short games or worked in the nets for 20 minutes, that your concentration over a 2.5 hour period in 30 degrees in the African sun is going to be not quite as good. But there's no doubt that we let teams off the hook in the field. Also, our fielding wasn't up to the level that we would expect. So those two things, the concentration and fitness, as well as the fielding, meant that, yeah, we let teams slip away. And that's a real shame, because we did at times do wonderfully well, with some new bowlers. You know, Sohail Mia, is a guy who's come into the team really for the first tournament, I think, for him. Wasanta da Silva came in for the first tournament. And they picked up good wickets in short succession a couple of times. We unfortunately couldn't capitalise on that, which meant we ended up chasing 200 rather than 140. And as we all know, the play cricket, chasing 140 is mentally very different to chasing 200.
Was the standard of the opposition roughly what you expected going in? I know that there's been a fair bit of improvement in Vanuatu particularly.
Yeah, Vanuatu, a massive improvement. I mean, we played against them 5 years ago, and it was, I wasn't a part of that team, but I was listening to the guys that had been around that long, and their improvement levels have been amazing. Now, you can see as well, they're putting huge investment in, they have a huge coaching staff, and their preparation is second to none in comparison to the teams that we've played so far in the World Cricket League. I think the level of the teams is improving. I think the teams that we played in Division 7 last year, not last year, 2011, were not as good as these teams. That being said, I think they're beatable on their day. German team has recently beaten Q8, which is a team that's going up quickly through the ranks. And so it's all about putting the performance together on the day. No team is down in Division 8 or Division 7 that should be up in Division 1. I mean, they're not that good. But across the board, I did notice generally a very, very professional approach. Younger teams slightly than what we've played against in the past, and probably fitter teams as well.
Nigeria took a while to get going, but eventually won the tournament. They seem to have quite a decent base of players, a very enthusiastic CEO, if I'm reading the press from there. How do you see them progressing in the next couple of years?
Nigeria, we knew were going to be... we knew their game from last time, in the last tournament, where they just bowled 50 overs, short-pitched outside off stump, and just waited for us to hit catches, basically. It worked very well that time, and they bowled very, very well to us again. This time they had a very quick bowler who upended my stumps. They had just a good bowling attack. You know, they had a quick, really quick bowler, must be pushing over 130, as well as some good accurate swing bowling. They didn't have their talisman from the past, Sean Phillips, who's been captain coach for them. So we thought we had a decent chance, but it seems that really their batting is also coming along. And I can't remember off the top of my head what they scored against us, that's right, of course. They went over 300 by scoring quickly at the end. Again, I think we just, as Andrew was saying, we just fell off the pace a bit in the field. I don't think they're a 300 runs side. I don't think they're that good as the batting, as far as batting goes, necessarily. They had a good day against us, but certainly they're a top outfit in the field. And yeah, like Vanuatu, they're working really hard. These countries, you know, it means a lot to them, and their team spirit is also very, very tangible to feel. And a young team, so I think they probably will do quite well in the future. Nigeria, we'll see whether they do well in Division 6.
Did any particular players stand out during the tournament, both from Germany or elsewhere?
Oh well, I mean the Vanuatu batsman was Trevor Langa. He scored a huge amount of runs. Again, someone who probably 3 or 4 years ago you wouldn't necessarily have had on the radar. You may have thought that maybe one of their Australians might have come through, or guys with Australian background. They are Vanuatu-based, obviously. Andrew Mansal from Vanuatu is pretty good captain as well. He didn't score that big, I don't think, this tournament. I mean, he was one. Trevor Langer scored a lot of runs for Vanuatu at the top of the innings, and that's always useful. It was Nigeria. I mean, they had some great bowlers. I think those two guys, if they can keep those two bowlers working well together for them, we have found it before, good quick bowlers, a pair of good quick bowlers can make a real difference. We've had it before with Javed Iqbal and Ehsan Latif for us. They didn't quite gel this time round, unfortunately, but those two quick bowlers opening Nigeria also made a real difference. So, yeah, I suppose the Vanuatu batting unit and the Nigerian bowling unit, they were the two sort of aspects that really impressed for me.
This was the last Cricket League 7 tournament, because the ICC decided to limit to only 6 divisions. What are your thoughts on that? Is it good to have more regional competitions? Is that the way forward? Things cheaper, or?
Yeah, well, look, I spoke to Eddie Fitzgibbon from the ICC on this, on one of our, we had a few social events around the tournament, and I mentioned to him, I said, I think it's a shame that it's going, because I think, as you've already said, I think the standard is rising rapidly. I really would use the word rapidly amongst these lower Division 8 and Division 7 teams. So why would you then throw them out of competition, out of a meaningful 50-over competition and say that it's not possible? His view there, I think I can probably pass it on, is that it was, the idea is to make the top associate teams, the Afghanistans, the Ireland, and you know, I suppose even teams like Netherlands and Denmark and stuff like that, to really, really make them competitive so they can really compete at the World Cup and really get those teams at a World Cup, you know, winning more games and maybe getting to a semi-final or something. And so you need to invest money there. It's all money, you know. It's where the money goes helps the cricket. You see that with the teams that we play. And I suppose thinking internationally, the more money you spend at the higher level of the associate competition, the better those teams will go. So I can understand that view because we all want World Cups where it's not just Australia, India and South Africa and England or something in the semi-final. It'd be great to have a Netherlands or an Ireland or something in that semi-final, or maybe even another new team, Afghanistan, who knows, in the semis. So it's a shame for us, but we still have this 2020 pathway that we can do that will give us opportunities as well. And I think 2020 is a massive boost for European cricket. So if you're the ICC and you're spending money on 2020 in Europe, then it's probably not a bad way to go because it's a good way to get people's interest improving and increasing. So, look, I don't have much to criticise the ICC. It was an amazing tournament. It was a great thing to be part of. I will definitely miss Division 7 and 8, or Division 8 it would have been for us next time, because I love 50-over cricket. I think it's more of a test and it's a great battle. But if we play well enough, we can go back up in there. So it's not all over 50-over cricket for us just yet.
Do you hope that ICC Europe will have a 50-over tournament again in the future so that you can carry on playing some 50-over cricket?
Yeah, I do. Personally, I do. I think that 50-over cricket is a really, as I said, a great test of how people play and how, and also the skills that we know are the real test of character in cricket. I think those things you can't replace with a 2020 match. 2020 is becoming a highly scientific, highly tactical game, and I'm looking forward to 2020 competitions for Germany if I'm part of them, because I think, it is really the future in Europe. We have a real problem here in Germany that people are just not prepared to watch sports events that go for any longer than an hour, hour and a half. We really get told that again and again and again, and people laugh when we tell them that we play all day. And if you want to get mainstream acceptance in Germany, then you have to put some focus on 2020 cricket, because it's what people will come along and watch and get their sons and daughters to come along and play. So I can understand the view. And we play still 50-over cricket in our local leagues here. It's still the thing that will have a lot of preference for us. And so we'll still be training it, albeit on a league level. But, yeah, I hope that at some stage I think there will be some friendly competition at 50-over level between Austria and Germany, or Germany and the Netherlands B and Denmark and things like that. I'm sure those games will still take place.
That's probably a good place to then look at development in Germany. I noticed Germany has a very well-developed sporting culture. Is there a niche for cricket as a summer sport in Germany that you can see? What's it competing against?
Well, it's competing against the football season that never ends. I mean, that's the main issue. Football is God here in Germany, just like it is in a whole bunch of European nations. But Germans are particularly proud of their footballing heritage. And sports like tennis, golf, basketball, hockey, even hockey, which Germany is very good at, it has no public profile whatsoever, really. I mean, occasionally you will hear some results coming through, but in the press, but generally it's football, until we have in-depth media coverage of Bayern Munich's summer football camp down in southern Europe, you know, somewhere as they go around riding bicycles. I mean, it's crazy. In that respect, cricket can never aim too high. I know I've spoken to the general manager of German cricket and about this issue. He says it, and I pretty much agree. All you really want for German cricket is that the exposure and the understanding is there. At the moment, cricket is a very misunderstood sport in Germany. It's very unappreciated. It's obvious that it also is played mainly by a subculture of expats as well. That's changing slowly, but until you get the mainstream acceptance, it will never change. So it will never, ever reach football's heady heights here. Football is what we call folk sport, a sport of the people, and that won't ever change. But to have cricket just understood and known about is pretty much all we can aim for. And if we have that, then we'll have young kids wanting to play it.
Eurosport have recently started covering the sort of 2020 tournaments. I think they do the World 2020 and the Champions League. Has that sort of helped get cricket some sort of attention in Germany?
Yeah, well, I've been involved in those broadcasts as a guest commentator occasionally, and it's fascinating to see the sort of responses we get. I mean, we get amazing answers from people who are watching maybe a cricket game for the first time, you know, saying things like, you know, a Gunther from Hanover will write and say something like, "Why do they all celebrate when they take a wicket? I thought it was a gentleman's sport." Question mark. Or, "Why do they run back and forth so much if they can just hit the ball out of the ground for six?"
Good question.
It's like, these are good questions. Very, very, very straight up German analytical questions from people who are watching it for the first time. And I always, my heart sort of skips a beat when I hear that, because it's just like, right, this person is finally starting to engage with this sport. I've said it a million times, I'm a big believer in it, that the only way to get cricket improve its exposure in Germany is to do mainstream media. And we need to get television showing it, because once people start watching it and realising the excitement of the final overs of a cricket match, which we all know can be the most gripping viewing of any television out there, once they start to watch that a couple of times, they will, I think, respect it much more. And it's been a tough battle. Eurosport puts it mainly on its pay TV, which means not a lot of people are watching it. But we put it on, they've put it on once or twice on their free-to-air, and the viewing numbers have been very, very high, you know, comparable with German ice hockey. So there is a public there in Germany, albeit mainly expats at the moment. But I think if you put it on once or twice a year, then you will start to get a real German following, and media plays a big, big role in improving then the cricketing base here.
With the media, I think it was announced yesterday that the ECB sold European rights to the Ashes this summer to YouTube, which means on the plus side, I think it'll be free, but on the downside, it's not actually going to be on the TV channel that they fall across. No one's actually going to see it unless they're following Didi Hamann, who seems to tweet about nothing but cricket. In Germany, so that's
yeah. I mean, the thing is that people, the German sporting public, just like sporting public all around the world, just like where I'm originally from in Sydney, if you didn't show the Boxing Day tests and the New Year's test, then people wouldn't be worrying about it or talking about it, you know, at work. And but the problem is that German TV is it would take a massive ground change for them to start showing Test cricket. I mean, they already find a 3.5-hour slot for a 2020 match difficult to program, but there is no way that they're going to be able to sell advertising time for 5 days of Test cricket. It'd be very cheap adverts, let's put it that way. I mean, it that's a bit of a pipe dream. So I think if YouTube is broadcasting that way, I that's the first I hear of it. I think that's not a bad start, and maybe a highlights package or something on one of the sports channels here in the evening might be something to aim for in the future.
With development generally, what are the main priorities for Germany at the moment?
Well, look, I can't speak for the German Cricket Board. I'm not there at the board meetings, but from what I gather and from what I sometimes take part in as a national team player, the school work is very, very important. It's almost starting from a base of zero, I get the feeling. There are a number of international schools around Germany, but many of them do not know much about cricket. Then they get a teacher that might want to coach cricket once a week, and then slowly connections are made to local clubs, and it slowly develops from there. And then you're getting 10- and 12-year-olds playing cricket, you know, maybe for the first time. that's not happening in your bog standard state school very much, but it is happening in international schools, and there are a lot of international schools across Germany. So that's a pretty important thing. I think at the same time, Germany needs to improve their playing opportunities for the underage sides, be they under 15, under 17. I think there's an under 19 side. Those guys need to be playing at least once or twice a summer against other European nations. And I know that Germany's putting a fair bit of money into that. Those two things are very important, as well as women's cricket as well. That's something that's also starting from a low base in Germany. So those three things, I mean, if they can just move any of those three things along each summer, then they're doing a pretty good job, the German Cricket Board, because general player numbers, they're increasing naturally as word gets out. You know, people who are here for 5 years doing a university degree or have moved here for business, and they might be from the Indian, Pakistani background. With the internet these days, within 2 or 3 weeks, they've already found themselves a cricket club and are pulling on a set of whites. Those guys will always come. So I think it's about developing school kids. And I personally think as well, a nice thing would be to develop more club cricket. It's not just teams that register for local leagues, but clubs, so that you're getting perhaps for Bonn, not 3 or 4 separate, where I live now, Bonn has 3 or 4 separate clubs, but you bring those four teams together, those four groups of 11 men, and bring them together into a one Bonn club, and you have a first, second, third, and fourth division, and once you've got that, you've got enough members' money together for a coach and maybe some decent facilities, and that will really help breed a bit of excellence at the club level.
I guess also, speaking as a particularly poor cricketer, it must be very difficult to for young kids or people who haven't really seen cricket to actually come into cricket in Germany. Like, what are the opportunities for players who really don't have any background in the game to engage with the game without having the experience of being bowled out for naught every single week and not really getting a bowl?
Yeah. Look, it is difficult. You've summed it up perfectly. That is really difficult. I mean, we have a couple of friendly sort of matches that happen, and we have a couple of clubs that, for instance, are not registered in the league but are registered to play friendlies in the Nordrhein-Westfalen region where I now live. Deutsche Welle Cricket Club, a cricket club set up by my work, is actually one of those clubs where people can come along and they're not playing league games straight up. So they at least have a chance to learn or play in an environment where it doesn't really count. And that's really important. But as for coaching those people that come along aged 15 or 17 or, you know, maybe in their early 20s, and they find it a fascinating sport, well, as I say, I go back to what I was saying before, you need to have a club set up so that those people can be taken in and been given a little bit of extra care. And that's a bit difficult at the moment. I know 2 or 3 clubs in this region of the, whatever it is, 11 or 12 clubs that have a coach, but not many of them do. And so it is difficult for young people coming in if they don't get a chance to practice it in a school here.
I wanted to touch on women's cricket briefly. It seems stronger in Germany than in most other countries around the world. I think women's sport in Germany is generally pretty strong. Do you see them moving up in the world faster than the men's team because of the opportunities are probably there to challenge because there's a lesser base of players in other countries?
Yeah, I suppose the pathway probably is a little bit quicker. I know that the German Cricket Board puts a lot of effort into women's cricket, and I know that that also it's something that I think of the young women that I've met who played cricket in Germany, there's a sort of an openness towards cricket that we don't really experience on the men's side of things. You know, you have a good athlete who plays football in Germany, he's going to take some convincing to move across to cricket, whereas young women who want to get into cricket will often just not have any presumptions about it, no sort of thoughts in their head, oh, this is a sport for sort of English tea drinkers, but rather it's something I could actually just do. So as to their international pathway, I don't know it well enough, I'll be perfectly honest. I know that the women's team does play regularly each summer, and I know they've had a bit of success. So I hope certainly that that they have the chance that they deserve, because, again, Germany's a big country. Getting together a women's cricket team, a national women's cricket team, that takes a lot of money and a lot of logistics to drive people from, you know, the depths of Bayern up to a match in Hamburg and get people from Berlin. It's difficult to get these teams together, and so I'm quite proud that the German cricket board can get that together, actually.
Cricket Canada has mentioned on their podcast a couple of times that their Sports Canada doesn't consider Cricket's World Cup, where they participate, a proper World Cup, because it doesn't involve qualifiers. Do you have similar issues convincing authorities that cricket is actually a global sport that deserves funding and not just a niche cultural sport or a heritage sport or something like that?
Yeah, it is a real issue getting the support of the authorities here. We are really... I can't lie. I mean, it's difficult to get them to agree to putting in a permanent pitch or something, because they just think, well, look, we don't know what this sport is, really. I think what would really, really help cricket in Germany is to see it pop up in the Olympics a couple of times. We have a very, very professional German Olympic sports authority that provides a lot of support for all sports that go to the Olympic level. And rightly or wrongly, things that pop up at the Olympics are considered to be of international importance. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I do not consider synchronized diving as important as cricket as a sport with regards to its impact on cultures, on colonies, on history. But someone does at the Olympic level, and consequently the money that flows into that sport here in Germany is considerably higher than German cricket. And we've got 4,500 members growing, you know, really quickly every year. But until we get 10,000 members, we don't really get any serious support from the German sports authorities. That's still a way to go. So we need, I think, something a bit on the international level. And whether an Ashes series is going on or not, no one in Germany notices. But if something is happening at the Olympics and Germany's not represented, or there are gold medals being given out, I think people would notice that. So I think that would be a nice little thing that might help the authority acceptance here. One of many things, though.
Moving on to Germany's tournaments this year, Andre. The key tournament, obviously, is European T20 Division 1, which will be in Sussex in July. And then there's a lead-up tournament, I believe, for Germany before that. What's your hopes and goals out of those events?
Well, I mean, it's definitely to turn around this form from Botswana, isn't it? I mean, we got to nip that in the bud really quickly. I think we can do it, and I know, because we've played so many of these European teams before in the last 3 or 4 years, and we've won against them. We may have lost against them in friendlies, but we've also won against them. We know pretty much the level that they're at. I don't think there can be any other goal aside from aiming as high as possible, and that is to get in ahead of all other teams that are not already in the World Cricket League, Divisions 1 to 6, and be the highest placed team in this Division 1 tournament of those people that aren't in World Cricket League. And I think that will then mean that we will then go forward, I think, to the next Division 6 tournament and be then considered to go up into it. And that's a very real possibility. In fact, in that respect, we've got a lot to look forward to. But I think we shouldn't put too much pressure on ourselves. I think the importance of this tournament just passed, I think I learned as a cricketer that if you go into the tournament thinking, we have to win this, otherwise we're stuffed, you know, we're not going to be playing any more 50-over cricket, as Andrew said earlier, oh, it's all going to be over for the proper cricket, as it were. Well, first of all, 2020 cricket is becoming proper cricket, and it's something that the national team, especially the German national team, who has some pretty serious hitters and some very clever spin bowlers, can do very well at. So I think we've got good chances in the 2020. But first of all, as I say, to not put too much pressure on ourselves. If we go out there and enjoy that tournament, that 2020 tournament, and play at the potential that I know we can, then I reckon we will be the best of the non-World Cricket League teams there, because I think we do have the strength to beat those other teams like Austria, Norway, Gibraltar, France, those guys that have been nibbling away at World Cricket League but are actually technically below us in the pecking order. So we have to prove it, obviously, and perform well, but I think we shouldn't put too much pressure on ourselves and just go and enjoy what should be hopefully some really nice tournaments.
And your expectations are who'll probably qualify out of there? I guess Denmark and Italy are probably favourites.
Yeah, I mean, there are some good teams. There's some good teams in that whole competition. I haven't, to be honest, we've been really focusing so much on this Botswana thing. I haven't really been looking too far ahead to the exact teams and the constellations and the matches that we're playing. But yeah, look, there'll be some good teams there. Denmark is a good team. I hear that Italy is putting a lot of money into the sport and working very hard to push it forward. But Denmark is a good team. We love playing against them. We beat them though as well last summer in Husum. We beat them comfortably with some young players on the field against in Husum. So I reckon we're an outside chance against them, and they'll be aware of that loss that they had against us. So we'll have to see. But they're a pretty good 2020 team, and as I say, I hear Italy's doing a good job. I'm personally not too focused on that. Our job is to be better than, as I say, the other World Cricket League teams, but also just to get back on the winning ways again, you know. Germany cricket after that Botswana tour may well be thinking about trying to, you know, I suppose change their approach a little bit at the national team level. I'm not the coach, so I can't say, but they may be thinking about that. And if they're doing it with a younger team, then that's what they do. But I, the main thing is to get back in the winning way of things and make the many supporters that we had here and still have here in Germany proud of us again and happy for us again. And, yeah. That means winning a few more games and playing a bit more confident cricket.
Thanks, Andre.
No worries. I hope I've been enlightening.
Lots of tours in progress or being planned for the Associate Nations at the moment. PNG have just finished in Sri Lanka, where they won 1 and lost 4 against the Moosey 11s of quite reasonable standing. Nepal is currently touring India and playing local academy sides in the lead-up to WCL 3. And a couple have been announced in the future, which are quite promising. Both the men's and the women's teams of Japan are planning to tour Scotland and England in late April, which will include matches against the MCC and the Middlesex women's team, while Middlesex men's side are touring Jersey in late June for 2 T20 matches. It's good to see so many tours going on, Andrew.
Indeed it is, and I think the 2 Japanese tours are also raising money for the sort of victims of the earthquake there a couple of years ago. So obviously raising money for a good cause there. And they get to play, I think, I'm not sure they're playing on the main Lord's ground. I think they're playing at the Lord's nursery ground, but still it's going to be a good experience for them. And Middlesex played in Jersey. Obviously Jersey, that will be their preparation for the European Division 1 tournament. And it's good to see the counties playing against the European Associates. It's obviously coming to an end with Netherlands and Scotland. I think to some extent the sort of big three European countries have perhaps outgrown county cricket now. So hopefully the sort of next, you know, next teams on the rung, so to speak, can play against the counties a bit more regularly. If it's not within organised cricket, then these sort of friendly matches are going to be ideal.
Yeah, with the change to Scotland and Netherlands, do you think it's in their best interest to have moved on?
I think it is. Now, Ireland stopped playing, I think, 3 years ago. And, I mean, to some extent, it's been caused by the ECB trying to restructure their county competitions again. I can't remember the last time the county season had the same format 2 years running. International program is becoming more and more busy. There is a lot more international cricket to play for them, so it's harder for them to schedule in, you know, 8 matches against the counties, even though they are becoming more professional sides. So hopefully they can replace this county cricket with more internationals, maybe more games against full members or full member A sides, which we're seeing this year. Obviously Netherlands playing South Africa, Scotland are playing Pakistan and Australia A. So if that can continue, it would be a good replacement. But the next teams coming up could probably do with some games against the counties. They're probably not strong enough to be playing against full members, but say, you know, Denmark, Jersey, Guernsey, Italy to some extent could certainly do with games against county sides.
Hopefully they can continue then, and it's good thing for Middlesex to put this forward. Other news this week, Afghanistan will receive $422,000 in TAP funding to build a national academy. Your thoughts on this?
This is one of them, like I said on Twitter, it's one of them things that I give the ICC some credit for. I'm always criticising them, but this is thoroughly good news. And I think in general for Afghanistan, getting a good functioning cricket academy can... It's no secret that Afghanistan has some problems, and if cricket can help prevent kids from doing something that they really shouldn't be doing, and get them off the streets and give them an opportunity to represent the country, develop as cricketers, and if it improve Afghanistan as a cricket playing nation, so be able to get to the stage where they're beating full members, they're already being quite competitive against them, and I think also as well they have a application in process to become an associate member of the ICC, which I think will be discussed at the annual meeting in June or July. And having a cricket academy is obviously going to help them sort of get that and get that extra funding as well.
I'm not sure about the strategy for the TAP funding. To some extent, it is becoming the point where just every country in the high performance program has got an extra few hundred thousand, and it would be nice to see some of that money funneled down a little bit lower as well, a Central European academy or a facility that they can play tournaments at or something like that, because these things are lacking at that level, and it seems like almost all the money is being kind of captured either by the lower full members or these high performance members, which is kind of getting away from it.
Yeah, and I'd noticed that Canada had put in an application, but it was actually rejected as well, so... It's obviously hard to get this money. You obviously have to put in a pretty good business plan, I suppose. And teams have been rejected. And within Europe as well, there's the facility in La Manga in Spain, which some counties use for pre-season training. They have ICC Europe hosted tournaments there in the past, and some money to develop that to become, as you say, a European cricket academy could. Yeah, could go down pretty well.
I did actually want to touch on something that came up both in the interview with Andre and last week, which is that the ICC and the ACC are funneling most of their development towards the high performance program members to try and improve them. Is this the strategy you think is the right one?
I suppose it's a case of yes and no. You do need to fund the lower teams as well, and a lot of certainly the affiliate nations get by on a very low amount of money. I think last time I heard it was less than $20,000 a year, which is which isn't much. It's certainly less than the average salary in the UK,
which actually they're required by that to have a full time staff, or I think all of them. So that's going to be quite difficult on that level of funding.
Yeah, and also pay for certain costs associated with tournaments. I think they get the flights paid for, but the hotel costs actually have to be met by the board. So for a squad of 15 players, a couple of officials for a week, that's going to be quite a hefty hotel bill, even if you are sharing rooms. So there's not much money to go around at that level. There is a danger of... Obviously, cricket has already has a top-heavy funding thing with the full members soaking up, 90-odd% of the funding. But I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with funding the higher-ranking teams more. They have, to some extent, earned that right. But I think it does need to be a little less top-heavy.
Yeah, I certainly agree. I'm a bit worried that, on the one hand, their worry is that, or their hope is that they can get them to a level where they can compete with the full members of the World Cup and therefore justify the funding that's going into it, which is fair enough. But I'm concerned, I think, that the reason those teams aren't at that level is actually this: they just don't have the playing base to produce enough good players to get to that level. They actually need a lot more players. And the amount of value you get out of that extra money you put in, once they've kind of got to a semi-professional or professional stage, it declines quite rapidly, I think. And so, although yes, it is good that they are getting this money, I'm not sure that this necessarily should be the focus of where it's going. I still think they need to increase the number of people playing as the first priority of the ICC. But
Yeah, and I think the ICC are moving towards a system where you get a base amount of funding, and then extra funding is based on things like participation and, you know, how many turf wickets you have in your country, how many grounds without turf wickets you have, and so on and so forth. So there'll be a formula to decide how much funding you get. You get a base amount, and if you're not meeting the other criteria, you don't get the rest. And I think that's probably a good way of doing it. But again, the amount available to certainly the lower ranked teams is still going to be quite low.
And on that thought, we'll wrap it up for today. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.